And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is August 3rd, 2024, and we welcome you folks out there. It's hard to believe that we're already into the month of August, but we are, and we are live this morning. And I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Richard. Well, and good morning, Tim. And good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And we welcome you, Remnant. Paul, would you please start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to cry across the nation, wherever it may go, Lord, and that we will recognize that we are the wheat and there are the tares, and there are two different people. Lord, we thank you for that knowledge. We thank you for our pastor that led us to this point in life. And Lord, we thank that we will stand in this position and stand for your word, Lord, that your name may be glorified in all the earth. We pray a blessing upon this broadcast this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. And, well, there is a lot of exciting things that are going on this week. I don't know, does anybody have anything that they wanted to start off with this morning?
Well, just seeing the fires up from you guys' way, that looked pretty serious.
It was very serious. Lots of smoke, lots of acreage burned, fire after fire that has started, and it just popped up out of nowhere. There was some speculation that it was ash falling that started some of the other fires. Personally, it looked like somebody was trying to commit global changes, in my opinion. You know, they've a lot of reports that there was people seen leaving different areas, and the next thing you know, there's fires that popped up. And you know, you hear that, and then they kind of change their story, and you just don't know what to believe. But I think it was somebody was trying to commit climate change there for the state of Colorado. But one of these did. I mean, it blew up, and it's just been just going crazy. You know, and when it bounces back between 1% and 5% containment, that ain't a whole lot. Thankfully, it did burn up to one of the fires that happened about 4 years ago. So it burned up to that to basically where the line was there, and it was it stopped there. Basically, there was nothing because all the fuel was gone. But I'll tell you what, a lot of smoke, even where I'm at, and a lot of people complaining about sore throats, several houses that have been burned, thousands of people been evacuated, serious deal. And I know that there was a lot of people that that were praying for that situation. Do want to thank everybody for the prayers. We did not get evacuated. We were close. We were within about eight to 10 miles as a crow flies on from some of the stuff that they did evacuate, but those people were able to go back into their houses. Stuff that remains evacuated is about 15 to 20 miles away from us. But it was, yeah, a serious deal, and do appreciate the prayers and prayers for families, properties, and ask that people do continue to keep people in your prayers when you see these things going on. Appreciate the appreciate that as well. So, serious deal.
I wouldn't imagine it'd take very long. The kind of winds y'all have to go 10 miles.
No, it doesn't take very long at all. And you wake up in the mornings and it's just socked in here. The smoke just settles down in these valleys too, and it's just, I mean, it's thick. And you know, this time of year it's been cooling off at night, and it's usually, generally, it's a good time of year to open your windows at night and air things out. And man, I tell you what, you don't want to do that right now. Wake up in the morning, there's ash that's covered everything. All the vehicles are covered in ash, just a thin layer of ash on everything. And it's kind of one of those disturbing feelings too, when you're sitting there at night and you can see the basically fire falling out of the sky, because this ash is still burning red when you can see it coming down. And it seems like it, by the time it gets down to where you can grab it, it goes out. But that's still that's a little too close for comfort.
Used to be here, and I don't know about there. It might be too dry. It might not be even be an option. But it used to be they did a fair amount of control burning here, and it helped with that because you didn't have just so much fuel everywhere. But nowadays, it doesn't seem like they do as much of that. I guess it's frowned upon.
They do quite a bit of it in this area, but yeah, just one of those deals.
Yeah, for those control burns, it just, you know, the circumstances have to be right. You know, they usually try to do it when there's snow on the ground or when it's cooler and moisture and those type things. But it's just limited, you know, and then funding and everything else figures into whether it's forestry or BLM or state or whoever's doing it. And it seems like public opinion turns against it as well. Oh no, don't burn this stuff. But it is, those control burns go, you know, that's part of the natural life cycle of the, whether it's the grasslands or the forest or the in between, they have to burn. So it doesn't, when it doesn't burn for 10 years, that's when it's really an issue. Like Jason said, that those fires there in the foothills, they were ripping pretty hard, but they burned up into previous burn scars, where there's very little fuel, and then the growth in that direction slows if it doesn't stop. So everybody screams about they want everything all natural, until they get natural fire. And then they don't want it because they built homes and cabins and everything else in there. But yeah, the whole West, it's Colorado. I think Wyoming's got three major fires. Montana, Washington State, certainly California as well. It's fire time out here for sure. And again, like Jason said, that haze, that smoke has just been in the area for weeks. It really has. So it's a mess.
Yeah, there's been several more that have popped up in Colorado, and then there's still the fires that are going on and up in Canada. It's all over. It's fire season.
Well, and selective clearing is a tool in the toolbox of management that allows those items to be controlled, not done away with, but you know, you can either have a massive amount of fire that is uncontrollable and damaging to a multitude of things, or you can have controlled release that's a little bit over time that allows, you know, safe, managed conditions to, you know, bring about that inability of catastrophic failure of that system. And that's kind of one of those things where we look at that. It always amazes me when you really get into it. You talk about all natural stuff. You know, well, we don't want the carbon release, which is one of their big cries, you know, now, of course. And it's like, guys, it will release no matter what. That fire is going to happen no matter what. It's just a question of when, where, and how much. You know, you're not going to get rid of it. It's going to be a lightning strike. It's going to be a piece of sun reflecting off of something. Like quartz, doesn't have to be glass. I mean, you know, different things like that. It will happen. It's just a question of how much and how do you want to control it? But God made us stewards. We are part of that natural thing. And I think that's a lot of these, I don't know, I call them tree huggers, but, you know, that's kind of a very encompassing term as far as I'm concerned. But they, you know, they don't, we're part of the natural environment that God created. He made us too. And it doesn't, honestly, it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or whether you're a evolutionist or what you are. We fit in there kind of the same way no matter what. We either, and obviously I'm a creationist, okay, just for the record. But, the point is that, you know, we are part of God's plan, but a lot of those people deny us any place in it. It's like we're some kind of anomaly or something. That's not the case. We have a position in God's plan. We have a position in environmental issues that we take part in, that we control, and we mitigate circumstances that are undesirable.
Well, nature's a really good teacher. You know, I drove through the Yukon one time quite a few years ago, and I drove for miles where a forest fire had been. You know, and you take the beaver. The beaver built the dam, and they controlled the runoff. I mean, nature has its own ways, so then we shot all the beaver. We built a few dams and stuff like that, but nature has its way. It's a teacher. You observe nature, and you will become wise, because nature, it can be very brutal, but sometimes it has to be. But I'm just saying that nature has its ways, and, you know, man is put here to cultivate it, you know, to harvest the forest and keep, you know, graze the cat, the underbrush out with animals and stuff like that. Nature has its way, and we have to work with nature, not against it. But, yeah, you want to return to nature, you know, even I read that, you know, scalp dance stuff like that. You can't believe how brutal those Indians were. They would kill a buffalo and leave it rotten, take the tongue. They just wanted their delicacy. I mean, they, you know, we came up with a conservation, you know, regulated the hunting and stuff like that. But people are out of contact with reality. But then we got to realize that tears love destruction. They've set this thing up. I mean, they're thinking all the time. They enjoy suffering, you know, and an Israelite just can't understand that. But they are different than us. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. We just have to observe nature and work with it. But we need, you know, this nation was run by preachers in the early America. The, you know, the political sermon of the Revolutionary War, the preachers actually started the war, brought the people spiritually into that, and that only took 3% to win under with God's way. But we have these tares in high places. You know, now we're governed by godless attorneys that pervert the law. That's all they do is pervert it. They can take either side, you know, think nothing about what they're getting paid. They have a clear conscience, I guess. I don't know, but they're destroyed. But the problem is the people. The people want it that way. You know, there's been a good preacher out there for years. Nobody wanted him. You know, the prophets are hated. You know, I've been reading in Acts again, too. You know, they preach the truth, and the establishment hates the truth because they lose their control. But when the American people repent and turn back to God and look in the mirror and see what they're really seeing, then it's really not that good most of the time. And you know, my biggest enemy in this world has been that little guy in the mirror. And he's had to have quite a bit of training over the years. So, but I delighted in training. I like the truth. So Jesus' name will be glorified eventually.
Amen.
Yeah. It's, you know, living in those times is it seems like you can just turn every direction you turn, there's something new that's going on. And you look at this, what a mess this presidential campaign, everything's running. I mean, J.D. Vance, Trump's running mate so far, and then I heard yesterday that he was talking about changing, firing him and hiring somebody else, and then you look at this person that Kamala Harris is picking for her basically vice president running mate, and from what I understand, this guy is a real work of art. They've been changing things on it nonstop, but scrubbing his service records and all of his ties to Israel defense programs and different things like that. He definitely does look like a beady-eyed Jew, that's for sure. And he is a piece of work from what I have seen. I don't know if anybody know anything more about this Shapiro, this Josh Shapiro.
I've just heard I've just heard the whole seesaw thing, like you're saying. I mean, he's he's all over the place. And I remember I was listening to some of it, and I couldn't help but think the fact that, you know, if they don't keep us in turmoil, they don't keep us dependent on them. And that's what they, you know, there's such a turmoil stirred up there all the time. I mean, it's just like, oh my goodness, God is the God of peace and of order. And, wow, there's just all kinds of that disorder.
Yeah, dual Israel citizenship and served with Israel Defense Forces. Like one of these articles here on it says this one was from InfoWars, but it says Wikipedia editor scrubbing Josh Shapiro's IDF service records. It seems like they're scrubbing any reference to service with Israel Defense Forces from the profile of Kamala Harris's presumptive vice president pick, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. And I mean, it's just, it's one thing after another, but sometimes it's just like, wow.
Well, it's on self-destruct. It's going to take care of itself. Everything they're built on a lie, it's just built on self-destruction. And I don't know what it would have to do to change it. You know, most of the people I see running for office, religious people, said they're talking about the wall and all this stuff like that. But, man, this is all over with. They're flying hundreds, thousands of them in here with planes, getting right past TSA. I mean, this thing is on self-destruct. It will take care of itself. And it's a really good time to have faith, because that's the only thing that's going to take us through this.
Amen. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, and then this whole Ukrainian-Russian stuff, it just seems like it's getting messier and messier. Ukraine decided to hold back the oil that passed through Ukraine and stop exports of that. Well, then Hungary and Slovakia, they step in and they're like, well, you know, wait a minute, Ukraine. You realize that 40 to 42% of your electricity comes through our border, and we can stop that. So, I mean, and that's when wars tend to get really ugly, especially this time of year when you're going into wintertime. You know, we're not quite there yet, but fall, and it's like you want to start talking about shutting oil down and shutting electricity down. Things could get really cold over there really quick.
Really deadly.
And a lot of people don't realize, you know, just how that has been considered the breadbasket of the world for a long time. And this book that we got, Execution by Hunger, does just a really good job. It goes in and talks about a lot of the things that happened over there, starting in 28, going through the early 30s, and, you know, just about the destruction and stuff that took place over there. But you know, as it describes that as, you know, and it has been called, that part of Ukraine has been called, you know, the breadbasket of the world for a long time. And there's a reason. And I had, until this conflict started a couple of years ago, we had no idea how much, exporting of, different, crops and, food that area actually exported to the world. And the numbers were just substantial, and it's crazy.
Well, Ukraine is the breadbasket of the world at one time. It was called it's very productive, you know, and it's one of the main arteries in this whole global thing that we have, you know. But America is dying from the inside out. You see John Deere's going to Mexico now. And I mean, this country is being raped viciously, you know. But the people don't understand until it hits their pocketbook on their stomach.
Yes, I agree. Tim, did you ever find out any more on that, basically that cyber, what was it, a cyber security? They said it was just a glitch, but wasn't that, there was a lot of chatter that was an attack. Do you know any more about that? Did you ever run across anything on that?
Well, it's kind of interesting because they just came out with, you know, CrowdStrike owns Falcon, which is supposedly where this update came from that created that giant IT outage on July 19th. And it was... Of course, now they've totally, CrowdStrike's not excited about accepting responsibility for it, but they had to go in and fix it because they're the security guys, and it created a shutdown of IT systems all across the world. And I'm major ones all the way into government level stuff. And they are they're supposedly like the main security protection that all these high-end IT systems use, but they had to manually remove that update, which is kind of odd that if you have the original program and everything, that you can't go in and do an update that would remove it. I think that's a little bit on the strained end of things, but there's been no official declaration that it was an attack, but the Backwater channel, type belief is that it was either something was inserted in that update or intentionally put in there that shut it down. And, for those of us who've seen things go on over the years, that's a lot of us that just have inquiring minds. What went on while the IT system was down, because there's a lot of speculation that, it created an opportunity for something to be scrubbed or something to be added or something like that. And I'm sure probably multiple somethings would be, in my opinion, that would be like an outage that would allow several different things to occur all at the same time. So, that's kind of the, I just got an update on it this morning, and basically that's all they were saying, was that it was just an updated, a Falcon update that supposedly had that in there and supposedly created, the issue with that. I do think, I had another one that I thought was kind of interesting as well, major judge. Do you remember when they did the AR-15 ban in and other assault rifle ban in New Jersey, and nobody turned them in? They basically got the finger from the public, I think they had. But that's been in court, and Tuesday U.S. District Judge Peter Sheridan passed down his decision or the lawsuits challenging the bans, and he threw them all out. He said, nope, can't do it. It's unconstitutional. So they can't select them. So I thought that was interesting. I mean, I didn't see that one on the front page of anything special.
Interesting.
Derek
wrote in, and this is a good point. America needs to be reminded about what God says. Those candidates have no business being in America whatsoever. And this is coming from somebody that's outside the United States. Deuteronomy 17:15, thou shalt not in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. And, that's for sure.
And not your sister.
She ain't my sister.
Or your sister that used to be your brother.
Yeah, no doubt.
On all day real quick.
I seen one this morning too, and it's like, I think that, and this was, it says, quote, how a cybersecurity attack would cripple America after a catastrophic crowdsource glitch. Cyber criminals could cripple the U.S. by targeting just 10 critical components in an electrical network, experts have revealed. The attack would begin with a series of cascading failures, first shutting down essential service providers like 911, call centers, and healthcare providers, and then spreading to critical infrastructure. America would lose access to energy, water, financial service, public transportation, cell phone networks, resulting in severe ramifications. Morgan Wright, a former senior advisor in the anti-terrorism at the U.S. State Department, told the Daily Mail that civil unrest and breakdown in the social order would soon follow. The world has had a taste of what a cyber attack could do when a flawed update was issued by cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike last month, causing 8.5 million Windows computers to malfunction. And it goes on, so on and so forth. But I think that that's, you know, something that it's very possible that it was just a test, too, to see how people reacted to it and see if they could do it. But I you know, we talk about, you know, they that's one of the things that they do is they love the chaos and they love to cause people havoc. And I can see them. We talk about them, they and us, all the time. And I can see them doing that for, you know, for that reason. But I do think that, you know, it's just amazing how many different infrastructures are vulnerable to a cyber attack or a virus or whatever you want to call it. But basically, they've opened the doors and they've made this stuff where everything is controlled by, you know, a cloud system.
Yeah, it's amazing because it's everything. Every
yeah.
Vital infrastructure is controlled by computers.
Well, we had that when that shutdown happened here. We had several people that, or several businesses that were close by, that, you know, they did the smart thing and they got rid of all their servers and everything and went to the cloud because it's safer, it's better, but basically they just had to shut down shop and send everybody home when that happened because they couldn't even run their equipment.
So if the group went down and was down for long enough to let everything get out of its power cycle, it would take days. If there was nothing wrong at all, if you flipped the switch off and left it off for a couple hours, it would take days and days just to bring everything back up because the grid is built on a power cycle and everything running and not cold load pickup. And so it would just be an act of Congress just to simply flip the switch back on if all the lights went out in a perfect world, no damage. And that's if all the equipment works properly. I don't know that people realize, you know, the potential there. And that's why we try to, you know, to take measures to have some form of a preparation so that even if something simple like that happens and you're out of lights for a week, you know, that you wouldn't lose everything in your freezer and, you know, you could make it feel better than if you weren't prepared. You know?
Absolutely.
Peak load is huge, and we're also dealing with the fact, and I think there's we've seen the smart meters, and we've talked about them in at length on here about really there's nothing good about them, but the one thing that they can do is they can be shut off remotely via computer system and everything else. And I think that a lot of people don't really realize that when you had to have a person shut things off, you know, I mean, when you had to have the different mechanical physicalities that it was better. And I it's my belief that a lot of these, I've looked into a lot of these big cities, of course, they are already running, computerized systems that power things and they control their load and they control, grid switch and substation switch and everything remotely. But those are the ones that are most at risk, but they're putting the rest of us at risk out here. We had, I know, in more rural areas, you know, the part flyover country that doesn't really matter, we actually had to have people go out and take care of different things. And I think it's interesting, as soon as they talk about the grid going down, that one of the things, and I think you mentioned it in that article, Jason, was the fact that, well, you know, 911 response would go down and this would go to... But that's all like control your power, you know, type thing. How are those tied in together? And the simple fact of the matter is, in a lot of the more rural areas, they would have to remotely cut that. I mean, or not have the ability to do it with a computer. They'd have to go out and and manually disconnect things. But when you run into the fact that if you shut off very many of the big structures, I mean, some of the big power plants are in fly-home country because, you know, they don't want them in their backyard. So when you take those big areas off, it's going to, all you have to do is just take several of Chicago, L.A., New York, different things like that. And I know there's different zones, but if you knock those out, it's going to create a ripple effect all the way across the country as far as being able to change the, or to restart, or to bring it back up.
And so that's what, you know, with the older equipment, they had to, I might say, overbuild the lines, but they had to have more capacity in the lines to be able to use the older equipment because there was more margin of error. There was more safety, you know, or a factor or whatever built into them. Well, now the lines are so close to capacity that they've got to have electronic equipment to be able to operate in a tighter bandwidth to keep it all on and working, because, you know, truthfully, we keep adding to the load way quicker than the infrastructure's being built to support it. And so what's the best thing to do with that? Let's put everybody in electric cars and have them charging every night at the house, and, you know, well, another third on that power usage.
Yeah, and so Josh, I was gonna. You probably understand this better than I do, or can probably explain it better. But you know, here in a bunch of the counties in the state of Colorado, they came out, and if you do, you know, renovations on your house, and it exceeds either so many square foot or so many dollars, or if you're building a new house. That's one of the things that they're requiring is a charging station in every garage, be built in. So you have to have that. And from what I understand, the power company, and I've talked to a few of them, but basically they're saying that, they put these charging stations in every vehicle and people are charging them, that the grid can't handle the capacity. It's, you know, people come home, they flip on their air conditionings this time of year and they want to charge their car. We can't supply the electricity to them. It's, you know, we don't have the capacity. So they're like, you know, they're wanting it limited where, you know, and they think that this is just a bunch of garbage that people have to have these charging stations in their garages. And they're like, and I think it hasn't yet, but I believe that it will come down to if you want air conditioning, then you can't have a charging station. If you want a charging station, you're not going to have air conditioning because they've been.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, so you're talking about a 220 heavy duty load right there, like having another stove running or another AC unit, like what you're saying. You're not talking about the same thing as plugging in a lamp or a fan. I mean, these things have a fairly large power consumption. And, you know, you said that the grid's not going to handle that. Well, it's not really handling what we've got now. I mean, we're teeter tottering, and there are times whenever it's super hot or super cold, you know, during peak loads, that the grid's failing now without any more added load. So it's not a, you know, thing of will it handle more. The thing is that, you know, a lot of places won't handle what we've got right now whenever there's, you're in the peak demand times.
Right.
And we say, well, just strengthen, you know, we'll just upgrade the lines and what have you. Well, you know, most, say like all your, cooperatives that are out there, they're built on a 30-year, model. So, if they build service to your house has got to be there for 30 years for them to be able to get the money back out of the equipment that they put into and maintain. And, you know, the poles need to last 30 years and what have you. And so, that's not just an overnight process to, you know, we're going to harden the system. We're going to upgrade. We're going to, you know, make it stronger. I mean, you're talking about a tremendous amount of money. I don't even know how many zeros you'd be talking about, you know, to upgrade the country. It's not feasible. You don't have the workforce out there to do it, or the material, you know, to supply it. So we've got to manage what we've got better.
And it's not just the lines, but it's the power producing plants. We've sure seen that out here in Wyoming. You know, there are coal-fired power plants across this state that are mothballed, that are shut down, that the EPA has said, no, you can't burn coal anymore, you can't do that. And not just in Wyoming, but in the Northeast, in the South, in Texas, out West, all over the country, you know, there are power plants that are shut down. And so that puts a greater strain on the ones that are still running. Just like out in California, they don't want them there, but boy, they don't have a problem with Nevada and Utah running those coal-burning power plants, and then California buying the power and getting the power, you know, just sent over on the lines. And that has put a great strain on, you know, on the power producing plants. And, you know, so yeah, it is. It's like you said, Josh, the whole infrastructure is teetering, is right on the balance. And we see that. We see that in summertime. What was it, two summers ago that, Texas and half of the Mid-South went down, in the middle of peak power usage in the summer. California is always having, they call them rolling brownouts, that they, you know, they have to shut down power to certain areas because they can't maintain it. And
once again, we're seeing these problems.
Yeah. Yeah. We're seeing these all over. And yet, you know, California just blindly goes ahead and by design, for destruction. But, you know, they're saying no diesel powered trucks by what? I think 2030 or 2035. And, you know, you take those out and you just shut the ports down because the ports you just can't handle that. I saw a report this week, out in Maryland, the school board out there. Of course, it was a district that voted 60% Democrat ticket in the past. And so they said, we're going to go to all electric buses for the school board. And it cost them like $14 million to do this. And only like a third of the buses got delivered. The ones that got delivered wouldn't work. You know, they wouldn't hold a charge. They over like it was like from 21, the school year 2021 and 22. They failed miserably, and so they had to go back and buy 90 diesel buses and put them in, and the cost was just astronomical because they had put charging stations in and all kind of stuff for public school buses, and it was a massive failure. And they said they estimated that county, that school board, lost $200 million in this debacle. That's one little spot and a $200 million loss. And it's like that all over the country. Boulder was that did that. They tried to go with electric school buses and they wouldn't get up the hills. Again, you don't see that on CNN. MSNBC is not talking about that. And these truths are coming out. These people that have lived in this fantasy world, you know, the Bible says don't be deceived. You know, don't just go to myths and fables and that's really what this all electric is. One, like we've said here, the infrastructure will not handle it to charge the vehicles. And two, the vehicles don't work. Oh, the Teslas do great. They, for the most part, you know, you see them, you see the little Rivian trucks and, you know, in certain circumstances, they seem to work fine and people like them. But overall, to replace the internal combustion engine, to replace the diesel, the gas, it's just not feasible. It's just not it just does not work. But these people are just caught up in their lies. And I guess if they think it will, then it will. That they put themselves in the place of God, thinking that, well,
that's the real issue more. That's the real issue more is the small g gods that are, you know, ruling over and making all this stuff. Because look, I am. Technology has its place, and the battery powered vehicle has its place, and. You know, I can't tell you the last time I used a corded drill. Battery powered chainsaw all the time and stuff. Like, I'm thankful for it, and we embrace it. But, you know, we just don't need to get used to being told and spoon fed what we've got to do all the time, you know, especially when the king has no clothes on. But period. I mean, it's the fact of them playing God and running you off a cliff that there's no safety net for. I mean, it's idiocracy is what it is. And the more we submit to this kind of thing, pretending that boys are girls and girls are boys and that, you know, battery powered cars are the only option. The further we get away from God and the more we lose ourselves, then the more we keep going down that slippery slope.
Exactly. Well, and I've been a fan of some of these electrical, not necessarily vehicles, but equipment for a long time. I mean, I'll tell you what, when you use a battery-powered forklift in a building and you don't want to breathe a bunch of exhaust, it works pretty darn good. And this last year, I was replacing a bunch of lights on in my shop. And high bay lights, and you know, normally you'd have to, you know, I got scaffolding and stuff like that, but you'd be setting up scaffolding and trying to get up there because you can't reach it on a ladder. And a buddy of mine, he brought over one of those drive around little lifts, and man, I'll tell you what, that was just cats meow. It was amazing. I mean, you plug it in and you drive around, it has batteries on it, you get up there, you hit the button, and it'd go, I don't know, I think it'd go 30 feet, 40 feet high. I don't know what they go. But, you know, up there and change your lights and you're back down. And, I mean, it was just a fantastic tool. And stuff like that is, I mean, it really definitely does have its place. But, you know, I'm like you. It's like, you know, EPA shutting these coal plants down that produce it. I know from 2010 to 2019, they shut down, I believe it was over 200 different plants had been shut down. And I think it was 200 of them. But they said that it was 40% of the U.S. Coal generating capacity had been shut down from 2010 to 2019. They also said that you know, that the big thing was is a lot of places had switched over and were running natural gas just because the plants are so much cheaper to build. And I know that they did put a lot of the natural gas plants in. You know, but it's kind of interesting too, is, you know, people have always talked. I remember back in the 80s, early 80s or late 80s, people talking about, you know, these coal powered plants and, you know, well, what's going to happen when they run out of coal? And, you know, they were talking about that for years and years and years. Well, the interesting thing is they've never run out of coal. It just keeps coming out of the ground.
Yeah, I hardly made a dent in it, really. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that's, so the natural gas is so much more expensive and more expensive to run, and, you know,
it's also a lot less efficient.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I mean, all you have to do to understand the efficiency of fuel sources is look at the weight of the fuel source. The more it weighs, the more power there is in it. You know, right. Diesel fuel has more than gasoline. Diesel has more than, for example, crude oil has more than diesel fuel. I think it's interesting, too, and one of the things I did here just the other day, actually, it's kind of interesting we're talking about this, was look up oil in the Bible. I mean, oil is actually mentioned in the Bible a lot, and, of course, we just kind of have been taught to think olive oil or something like that, but what about the oil that lights the path for your feet? Why are you assuming in your mind that that is olive oil? What was the oil that they were sent to get, that the virgins went to get? Why do you assume that that's I mean, it's not necessarily that type of oil. There's oil that we cook with, yes, it's mentioned in the Bible, but there's also other types of oil mentioned in the Bible. And it goes all the way back into, I mean, Exodus talks about oil for light in Exodus 25, you know, and then it talks about a different kind of spices for anointing oil and different things like that. But it's been around for a long time. Coal, you know, obviously is another, I mean, shale and coal and all that. And I think that a lot of that stuff is, they insulated people's minds from God's ways. And we know that. And we're just trying to bring about a new thought process. It's like, think about it a different way. Take it out, turn it around. You know, when you're trying to figure out a puzzle or when you're trying to put something together, or you're trying to fix something and you don't have a manual or a book, you have to start looking at it in different ways, you know, all the way around. How did somebody build this? So it's got to be some way or another, it can be repaired or be fixed or be taken back apart, you know, for repair. And we have to look at these things in an orderly fashion to come up with a response for it. But I think the other thing that they're saying that some people don't really understand is as far as grid loads go and everything else, and Josh can probably speak to this, you don't just store electricity. It's not like when you have those plants online, you can't really bank that energy, you know, so to speak. Maybe a small percentage of it, but there isn't any way to, you know, your peak demand and your peak loads and everything else, as it goes up, they have to change that.
We're talking way too much what they're doing. God, you know, let's look at the gospel. God sits in the heavens and laughs, and they have a plan, and it looks like they're really close to flipping the switch on us, you know, but God sits in the heavens and laughs. And we got to remember the gospel is the good news. This verse comes with a instruction manual called the Bible, and people, they superficially read it, but they've got a foot in the world, and they would depend way too on it. Well, the world is failing them. You know, the perversion of Romans 13, obey Caesar, that probably did us in worse than anything, because Caesar don't know his butt from a hole in the ground. And look what he's doing. He's actually delighting in our destruction. Well, he's on a short string. He was beat at the cross, and this is about to change, and we got to have our eyes on the gospel. You know, I was reading in Acts 2, you know, they're picking on these apostles and stuff like that. They said, well, we got to obey God rather than man. And man, I'll tell you what, it looks to me like they got us, but they don't. They just flat don't.
Very true.
You know, they're running up and down the back roads here, putting this internet in all the rural places. I mean, there's one house down there, and they run a line to that. They want us all hooked to the internet so they can monitor everything we do. But, you know, God sits in the heavens and laughs, and don't forget it.
Yep.
Amen.
What, Tim, do you know anything about these new sodium ion batteries?
I haven't heard a lot about them. I mean, I see some information on them, and there's, you know, they have some promise. I mean, there's a lot of new battery technology. Some of the newer battery technology out there is all right, but it just seems like it's super expensive. I mean, I don't know. No, I haven't heard a lot about sodium ion at this particular point.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm interested to see what they do with that. I know that they had that lithium ion battery factory up in Ontario. They halted that project, and there's been several other ones throughout the world that they've stopped, that were basically lithium-ion batteries, just because they say I believe that it's because the electric vehicle sales are down. But then I was looking at this sodium-ion, and they're supposedly 500 times more abundant than, or sodium is 500 times more abundant than lithium. They say that these batteries are more efficient, cheaper to produce, and they can, you know, charge them, I think it's three or four times more many times as you can with a regular lithium ion battery. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that. I think that they're doing a lot of experimenting with it, and it does it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I can't think of they have old tech too, like what was it, the old iron batteries, I can't say, but they were heavy, they lasted
forever,
you know, but that yeah, forever. I mean, they literally still have,
I think they've got batteries that are 60 years old that still work.
Yeah So isn't that the only downside is, of course, they're extremely heavy, which is why, but the point is they're not probably a huge moneymaker, a huge development for them. I mean, we have all these things, and it's like, it just interests me. I mean, I ran across one the other day talking about they found a new cobalt deposit, or a cobalt deposit in Idaho, of course, in regards to these hybrid cars. And we were chuckling about that because used to hunt up around Salmon all the time, Idaho, and there's a huge cobalt mine up there that was shut down, you know, back when they national parked all that stuff. And of course, that's one of the ones they're talking about, like it's some new discovery, and it's it's been there. It's like, you guys are a bunch of liars. You know, but anyways, so there's so much of that BS, and God says he's going to shine the light on them, you know, and we're gonna, and I think that's what we're doing right here, is shining a light on their you know, ungodliness and their greed. So
amen.
Well, you know, for Tesla we could have put an antenna on a roof and done it, but there was no way to monitor it and to charge for it. So, you know, there's all kinds of alternatives. And these, inside what we're talking about, that's going to come out of this. Because people, you know, there's something about an Israelite. You persecute the rascal and he does start performing. It happened in Egypt. The more you persecute him, the more he responds. And, you know, the perversion of Romans 13 that made us all bow down to Caesar, we bowed down to the wrong God would actually happen. He has nothing to offer.
Amen. Well, yep. We are just about out of time. I want to thank you, gentlemen, for being here this morning. And, Josh, why don't you give us a couple closing thoughts? I'll put you on the spot there.
Yeah, just like what Paul said, you know, we got to remember we got all these things going on around us, and they do matter, and we need to be praying about them. But ultimately, God is in control, and it's waiting on us to turn back to him. We've got to do the moving. He's already there. He's the rock. He's not moving. We've got to move back towards him if we want to see a difference, change in the right direction. Just because their system goes down, that doesn't mean it's death and destruction for everyone. It can be replaced with a new godly system that puts us back where we need to be. But it's just waiting on us to make those decisions, to do the right thing and turn to him.
Amen. Well, thank you again, man. And Remnant, want to thank you for joining us this morning. You've been listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network.
The role of the Jews in the New World Order. Two of the most contentious issues facing the church today. In The Stolen Birthright and the Coming Destruction, Pastor Peter J. Peters explains the story of Jacob and Esau, telling who each one is today. The Stolen Birthright and the Coming Destruction also tells who is behind the New World Order and things like communism and the New Age movement, and what will happen to those trying to put the New World Order in place. Order The Stolen Birthright and the Coming Destruction by sending $3 to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535, or go to scripturesforamerica.org.
Everything you wanted to know about gun control and preachers were afraid to tell you is the eyebrow-raising title of a hard-hitting essay now available in pamphlet format for a $6 offering U.S. funds and for a lot less when ordered in bulk. It's an excellent tool to place in the hands of all true Christian men, especially those in uniform. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, quote, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel," end quote. So send a $6 offering U.S. funds and just ask for gun control. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Once again, that's Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, USA. And thank you very much for your continuing prayers and support.
It seems like your pastor preaches this same thing all the time. Looking back, there are really only a few topics he's ever covered. Why is this? Find out by ordering the pamphlet, Four Stages of Spiritual Growth. Four Stages of Spiritual Growth outlines the four stages a Christian should pass through in their walk with the Lord. It also tells why most Christians never advance to the final stage. Order Four Stages of Spiritual Growth by sending $2 to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Or go to Scriptures for America.org.